Thank you for joining us on the Go and Teach radio program. My name is Ryan Goodwin. I'm one of the ministers with the Monte Vista Church of Christ that meets in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're very grateful that you've decided to spend a part of your day listening to this program. So have your Bibles out and your hearts open as we consider a very interesting topic. Let's start with a quote from a book called Be a People Person by Maxwell. He says, "Are you aware of the tremendous advantage frogs have over humans? They can eat anything that bugs them. Wouldn't it be great if we could just consume our relationship problems rather than letting them consume us?" Admittedly, there are times when it's very difficult to love other people. We don't always get along. We don't always see things from the same perspective. This difference in viewpoint leads us to distrust other people, to insult them, or just to avoid them altogether. Now, the biggest problem with all of this is that it leads one to live an introverted life apart from reality. We can accomplish almost nothing when we refuse to open ourselves up to others and extend a hand of love. Consider a few applications as we get started here. First of all, if we're not willing to leave our comfort zones, socially speaking, then we'll probably never be able to convert anybody with the gospel. It's a plain and simple fact that God commanded us in Matthew chapter 28 to go into all the world with the gospel message, to teach them everything that Christ taught. And if we stay in our own little social circles, we might just seem arrogant to other people. Aloofness can very easily be misinterpreted as haughtiness, so we need to be very careful how we act around other people. Another idea is that it's very easy to judge others for, quote-unquote, not being friendly, even though we might be acting in the same way. If we can't learn to just swallow the things that bother us about other people, like frogs can, then we will have a hard time finding jobs, raising children, or even dealing with our neighbors. If we stopped talking to every person who just annoyed us, we would find life to be a very lonely endeavor. This rather silly idea of eating what bugs you like a frog means really letting things go. Holding on to anger or past transgressions is a terribly rotten way to live. We'll all disappoint each other at times. That's just reality. So remember that for every person who has upset you or offended you or talked bad about you, there are probably just as many people out there who you have offended. I think a third point that we would make before we get into the body of this lesson, is that introversion is one of the church's greatest enemies. It leads us to develop cliques or separate social groups. It leads us to ignore the needs of other people. It makes a congregation look very bad to outsiders to see division, and a division is condemned. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says that, "I've heard that there are divisions which exist among you, and it's not a good thing that those exist." Now, I'm not saying at all that the church doesn't have a place for introverted people. I'm not saying at all that being an introvert as a personality is a bad thing. But we have got to find ways of integrating every personality type into our work as God's people in this world. You know, keep in mind, there are probably people out there who just don't like you. There are people out there who think you are stubborn, difficult, or maybe just plain weird. And keep that fact in mind every time you refuse to love another person who just grates you the wrong way. It's a sad reality, but there are many different types of personalities. Some personalities are easier to mesh with than others. But how we treat difficult people will go a long way toward helping progress in the gospel. We're not always going to like everybody that we meet. We might not always get along with everybody, but we need to try, and we need to put as much effort as possible into letting go of our preconceptions and helping difficult people find the gospel. Remember, just because you might not like somebody doesn't mean that it's up to you to decide if they're worthy enough to hear the gospel. Just because you might not like somebody doesn't mean that God does not love them enough that He would send His own Son to die for that person. Just because you might not like somebody doesn't mean that they're not worthy to receive forgiveness and grace through Jesus Christ. Don't let your perception of a person be the thing that stops you from reaching out to him or her with the saving message of the gospel. Remember what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 44, "But I say to you, Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So when it comes to people that we meet, and people that we're going to spend eternity with, it's important for us to show love and concern to the greatest degree, no matter what the personality type is. There are some very basic ideas we need to remember when dealing with difficult or unloving people. First of all, God is not a respecter of people, so we shouldn't be either. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, and Galatians 2 and verse 6 makes this point very clearly. So let's not give preference to one Christian over another. Let's not pick and choose who we talk to about the gospel. Let's not judge somebody based on how they look or how we feel about them when it comes to personal evangelism. Don't all people need to hear the truth? Why do we only preach to people who are similar to us or people that we're comfortable with? God desires all people to repent and be saved. That's 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. So every time we cause division by refusing to love people that we don't get along with, it's inhibiting God's work in this world. Everybody's made in God's image according to Genesis 1 and verse 27. Everybody has the potential to change and become better. So just because you might not like somebody at the time doesn't mean you'll never like him or her. Everybody needs God. Every soul is worth more than all the world. Matthew 16 and verse 26. And if we can't get along with people that we see, how can we ever love a God who we cannot see? Go to 1 John 4 and verse 20 and see what the apostle says there. In 1 John 4 and verse 20. If someone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. Now, maybe you can quibble about the definition of who your brother is, but if you don't see every human being, if you don't see every person out there, at least as a potential spiritual brother in Christ, then you're probably going to miss the point of what John was trying to say in his first epistle. The main point that I'm trying to get at in all of this is that whether we're dealing with other Christians, even members of our own congregation, or if we are dealing with outsiders, people who are not believers, either way, we're going to encounter difficult personalities on occasion. When we're dealing with difficult personalities, we need to see others the way God sees them. Not necessarily for who they are on the outside or how they act, but for the potential that they have, especially the potential for repentance, for change, for good, and becoming the kind of people that God really expects us to be. Now, we can do this by peeling away the layers, so to speak. What I mean by this is that oftentimes when you sort of look beyond the exterior of a person, you see that there's more story to them than just what you can see, just the obvious personality traits that they're showing. You start to look beyond the surface and you see that a lot of folks who don't like other people, really on the inside, don't like themselves very much. They might suffer from self-loathing, whether unconsciously or consciously. They might not even realize how much they dislike themselves, which is why it's so important for us to be patient with them. Some people only treat others poorly to keep the attention away from their own problems. This might be the root problem behind a lot of the world's complaints. When somebody looks for faults in you, they might only be doing that to make themselves feel better about their own faults. They think that if you have problems in your marriage, in the way that you parent, in your attitudes, then maybe their faults are going to be excused. But remember, friends, we can't choose how others are going to treat us, only how we will respond to them. And what a shame it is to see Christians bickering over stupid things or refusing to get along. In most cases, discontentment in the church is over pointless things. God never wins when the battle is petty. Remember, Romans 12, verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It should always be our goal as Christians to live at peace with all people, both those in God's kingdom and those outside God's kingdom. We should never want to exacerbate social or relationship problems or open old wounds for no good reason. The desire of the holy person is always peace, contentment, quietness, and unity with others, if possible. That's what Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. It seems imperative, then, that Christians seek the peaceful path through life, that they don't make problems worse for themselves or for other people, and that they certainly don't pick at problems in another person's life. Now, even though there are many different personality types, all people need some of the same things. All people need to be converted and born again, John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. The very good news is that all people have the ability to change. They can do it if they set their minds to it and actually desire change. How many of us can say that we did not undergo at least some personality change when we became Christians? When we're baptized, we become a new creature. I've always liked the way 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 puts it there. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Doesn't this also apply, at least in part, to our personality traits? The Christian should allow himself to be transformed into something, not conformed to the world of corruption, Romans 12 and verse 2. Our attitudes, our habits, our character flaws should be done away with upon conversion. Now, some might say, on the other hand, "Oh, this is just how I am," or "you can't change character flaws." But too many verses in the Bible say otherwise. Colossians 3 and verse 9, for example. Consider Colossians 3 and verse 9. "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." Whatever was bad about you before conversion needs to be laid aside. If you were a difficult personality type, if you were always combative or pugnacious, if you were stubborn or arrogant or self-willed, if you were someone who refused to listen to criticism, if you were someone who was mopey or always saw the bad in life, aren't these all things that need to be done away with? Evil practices that are part of the old self? If we're not expected to fundamentally, foundationally change the kind of person that we are, then why be converted at all? Doesn't conversion even mean anything? Remember, part of eating what bugs you involves confronting people with personality types that differ from yours and helping other people see the change within them as well. We can either help each other grow and change into the Christians that we're expected to be, or we can just continue dividing because we refuse to love people who rub us the wrong way. So for the next few minutes in our lesson, let's consider some of the typical difficult personality types that we encounter. Maybe you encounter this difficult personality type every day in that it's you. So whether you're dealing with one of these types of people, or whether you are one of these kinds of people and you're trying to change, I think there's some great lessons that we can talk about. First of all, let's start with the astronaut. Maybe you're an astronaut. Now, maybe you don't work for NASA, but let me explain. Astronauts are the type of people who live in their own world. Astronauts are dreamers who can be very brilliant and creative, but allow this to inhibit them in developing personal relationships. After all, who wants to be friends with somebody whose head is always in the clouds? These are the kinds of people who allow their brilliance to make a barrier between themselves and others. and they use pride as a defense mechanism. This is a lot like the Pharisees, actually, who viewed themselves in New Testament times as existing on a higher plane than everybody around them. That's Luke 18 and verse 11. Consider that as a good example. Astronauts bother people who like absolutes and are grounded in reality. It annoys practical, down-to-earth people when astronauts talk about their dreams and high goals in an arrogant manner. Admittedly, often well-educated people and those who are less so will clash. They speak different. They think different. They desire different things. So when you're dealing with somebody like an astronaut, remember a couple things. God will eventually bring them down to earth, at the very least on the judgment day. Not only that, but the cross brings all of us to the same level, which is that of a sinner. In Romans 3 and verse 23, we find that before God we are all in the same boat. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's glory. Not only that, but the Bible is designed to please and challenge people of all educational levels. I've always felt like there's enough wisdom in the Bible to convict even the smartest of people, even the astronauts, whose aspirations seem a step higher than the normal person. There's also the volcano. The volcano personality is explosive and unpredictable, and it's easy to see why these individuals have a hard time making and keeping friends. Volcanoes are unapproachable. They're never able to relax. Other people find it difficult to talk to the volcano, even amongst Christians. Now, sometimes we see this manifested in the church member who nobody wants to confront when he's in sin. Nobody wants to contradict him in a Bible class or suggest contrary options in a business meeting. You cannot offer constructive criticism on parenting or marriage or any other part of the volcano's life, and they never want to have anything to do with confronting their sins. However, anger is a choice. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Consider in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4 what is said there about anger. In verse 26, it says, "Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't dwell on your anger. Don't let anger run your life." He goes on to say in verse 31 of the same chapter in Ephesians 4, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Put away anger. Anger is unpleasant. If an angry person refuses to change, he or she really may end up lost. Galatians 5 and verse 20 talks about anger as well. It says in Galatians 5 verse 20 that outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, these are all deeds of the flesh. And in verse 21, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Have you ever realized that if you have an anger problem, your anger could keep you out of the kingdom of God? A hot temper is an easy way to become alienated and distant from others. Anger is a miserable way to live, and some people just refuse to let it go. They allow their anger to fester for months or years until they just finally blow up in a fit of rage. Now, if you're dealing with a volcano, be careful not to allow them to exaggerate or take your words out of context. Be firm with the volcano without matching their anger level. Don't give in to them emotionally, because that's exactly what a volcano wants. A volcano wants everybody around him to be just as mad as him. An angry person has lost sight of his or her blessings, and they may need to be reminded that life is not worth being mad about. Now, another difficult personality type is the thumbsucker. This is really one of the most difficult people that you can deal with. The thumbsucker tends to pout and wallow in self-pity. In their minds, everybody's against them and nobody wants to be their friend. Thumbsuckers put a damper on the work of a church because they suck the energy out of it. Essentially, thumbsuckers are wet blankets. This person, however, needs to be reminded that their mood is a choice. People become moody because they want to manipulate others. They want to control a situation. Also keep in mind that everybody in the world has problems, but many of us are able to confront our demons, our mistakes, and conquer them. So does God expect some people to live a cheerful life and others to live moody, sour lives? There are a lot of people out there with more serious problems who manage to be happy about things. So why do thumbsuckers get special treatment? The real fact of the matter is that self-pity is damaging to everybody. It destroys a church. It inhibits people from obeying the command to be content. Consider Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. For that, we need to be content people. We need to learn to live to be content. We need to lay our troubles on God. It keeps people from going to heaven. Moody people need to be told how damaging their attitude can be. Some churches become so paralyzed because they have to deal with one drama after another. And unfortunately, these recurring troubles in a church often are the result of the same people. Our society makes the mistake of excusing people like this, and sometimes thumbsuckers are even rewarded. We're afraid of hurting people further, that we unwittingly allow ourselves to be manipulated by people like this. And of course, one major problem with people who see themselves as the victim all the time is this. If I spend all of my time worrying about my own problems, how am I ever going to help other people? Thumbsuckers are engrossed in their own frustrations, in their own problems, in their own dilemmas. But the true Christian thinks of others always as more important. What does Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2 say about this? Brethren, even if any man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. How can you bear one another's burdens when all you're worrying about is your own burdens? A thumbsucker's only concern is making other people feel just as miserable as him or her. The last difficult personality type that we'll look at with our time left is the garbage collector. Going back to the original book that we quoted at the beginning of this lesson, Maxwell says, "Oh, how they love to rehearse and replay the injuries they've suffered at the hands of other people. They nurse their wounds and hold on to their wounded ill spirits. The fact that there's garbage in life is depressing enough, but to collect it and haul it around town in a dump truck for public viewing is downright sick." The spiritual garbage collector is the person who never lets things go. He or she just goes from relationship to relationship, damaging people and leaving with nothing but negative emotions and feelings. Garbage collectors are consummate pessimists who hold nothing in their souls but ill will and misconceptions. Their memories are constantly occupied by all the perceived evils and slights that people have done to them. These are the kinds of people that have a hard time holding down a job because they can't seem to get along with their coworkers. They're usually at the center of social problems in the church or in the family. They're almost always causing some kind of ruckus. They interpret everything in life as garbage. That is, that they take everything people do to them or say about them and interpret it in the most ridiculously offensive way possible. In the garbage collector's mind, everybody is against them. Everybody hates them. But these people need to be remembered that according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. As we close, remember to love people as God loves them. Even though there are individuals who have very abrasive, cold, rude, or even despicable personalities, the grace that you give to them will never compare to the grace that God gives to all of us through Jesus Christ. The least that we can do is try our hardest to love even the most difficult people. Remember, just eat what bugs you. Don't let it eat away at you. Have a blessed day, and thank you for listening to our radio program.